individuals who have not requested this placed on agenda and want to address the board? And I do not see anyone there, so we will move on to our routine matters. The first one up would be amendments to the regular meeting that we've had, all the stuff that you've already had a chance to go over, all of the routine matters. I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Aye.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. I have no unfinished business, so we're into new business, and which would be district stuff. Crusoe, Howard County Data Center Project Tax Abatement. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for coming.
This project we've talked about a couple of times before. These people expect to invest between $100 and $110 million. They came in asking for whatever incentive they get, and asked for a lot. We worked it down, done the cost benefit analysis, and what I gave y'all was what I recommend for the college is 100% first year, 70% for the next four, abatement of their taxes. This matches up the low end of the tiered incentive package, 381, that the county has put in there. I do not recommend doing the tiered package. I recommend doing it just match the minimum that the county offered. And I would suggest that this is kind of where the county has landed for this kind of project, over $100 million investment. And I would suggest this is a good place for the college to be for this kind of thing. Ready to answer any questions?
I think we all went through pretty well this morning. Anybody have any more questions or anything? Okay. Okay, well then, on his proposal, I would entertain a motion to approve or disapprove.
I'll make
a motion to approve. Have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. Knew you had to go.
And Mark abstains.
Mark abstains. Okay. All right. Our next item on the agenda is Howard County Tax Central Appraisal District Board nominations.
Okay. As you all know from the information that you received, it is the time of year when we go through the process of having the appraisal district board nominations. And again, the five individuals that are serving are willing to continue serving. You can make a nomination if you would like to, or you can go down the path of not making a nomination at all. And so it's just however you want to proceed with that. At this point, it would be a nomination. Every board will do this, and you know from the information, the entities that are a part of the appraisal district, and it's why it's called the Howard County Central Appraisal District. It's not Howard County. Howard County Central, it's Howard County, Howard College, the City of Big Spring, Cajoma, and Forsan, the school districts of Big Spring, Cajoma, Forsan, Sands, and Stanton, and Borden County, and then the Permian Underwater District, and so Underground Water District. And so each entity has a certain amount of percentage of votes based on their levy, and Howard College has, as far as vote allocation, 580 out of the 5,000. The actual voting does not take place it won't be able to take place until the November or December board meeting, but every entity is having the same opportunity to make any kind of nominations that they want. And then a ballot will be created after everyone has submitted names, and then that ballot will go back out to all the entities, and the votes will take place at that point in time.
Okay. If anybody want to nominate anybody for that, I personally prefer to go ahead and have Mark stay on the in our vote.
Well, Mark is no longer on.
Not.
No. He went off. Scott Emerson, Craig Wyrick, Michael Dawson, Noel Hoff, and Jordan Partee. And yes, Scott.
I like Jordan Partee personally, but that's my personal opinion. Anybody else have any?
No, I like it too.
Okay.
Do we need to?
Did I make a motion on that? Can I make a motion on
that? You really should let them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So we want to nominate. Is that the consensus?
Anybody have any argument against Mr. Partee? I don't think there's any.
Okay, I make a motion that we nominate Jordan Partee.
Have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There's two ayes, I heard. Aye. Me, three.
Aye.
There's four. All right. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Mr. Partee will be our nominee to the
Okay. Vote. So then what will happen? Every entity will be doing the same, making whatever nominations they want to make. And so when the ballot comes back, then you will have the opportunity. You can put all of your votes on Jordan Partee, or you can split it, however you want to do it. But we'll deal with that when the time comes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Time on the agenda is Big Spring, Delic Method. Well, I've lost the word for it. MOU update.
Yes, sir. Okay, so as you all know, y'all had given me the authority to keep working on that lease agreement between Delic and Howard College. And we had, of course, our attorney involved in that, and we're going back and forth and making sure that everything was in order. And Delic has, we've signed. We went forward, and everything worked out the way we wanted it to. And so I would just make the point that this is it's a 30-year term, and it will be, we can renew the term of the lease on the same terms and conditions for four additional terms of 5 years. And so we see a lot of commitment there, pleased about that, and that will allow us to continue you all for wanting to start making some improvements on the property, and that's one of the things we'll deal with in just a minute. But then we've also had some donor interest in that assistance as well. So that's a report on that.
Thank you very much. All right. We don't have time for La Mesa, San Angelo, master plan.
All right. As you know, after your board planning session last year, one of the things that you wanted to do, you wanted to spend a focus on each of the campuses one time a year. And so this year, what we did in June, because we wanted to get the kickoff going on our 50th anniversary, we went ahead and we had the special meeting in San Angelo in June. And at that point in time, we had the opportunity, you had your tour. You had the opportunity to visit with some community members and also had some students that were a part of the event that day. So what we're doing today is we're calling this basically phase two of the focus. Next year, know that what we will try to do, we will just have one, unless something strange happens, we would have one and the special focus would likely be in September, but today we're going to do the phase two focus of San Angelo. And so what you'll have as we go through the next three items, we'll have this time on the focus, we'll have the facilities master plan. Next year we won't have that, but this year you'll have the facilities master plan update, and then we'll do some other work, and I'll deal with that when we get to that. So Terry and Phil are here to give you preliminary information as it relates to the San Angelo campus.
Okay, we've had a couple of chances to get San Angelo responses
Some of it's been here on this campus from faculty and staff. We got some community responses, as Dr. Clark said, a few days ago. I just looked right now, we're sitting at 127 survey responses for San Angelo, which is really pretty good. They're split pretty well equally between faculty and staff. We don't have a lot of student responses yet, and yet we're working on that to get that word out to the students and get them to reply to the surveys. I know that Dr. Clark, would you like for to hand these QR codes out so that the board could reply on San Angelo or respond on San Angelo?
As this is happening, our intent is at each of our focused meetings, after you will have a tour that will be associated with each of the focused meetings, and then we're going to have you fill out a survey from your standpoint as a board member of what you think. As Terry mentioned, we've already had faculty and staff do that. We're having our students do that, and we want you all to have the opportunity. But designing these in such a way that you can have a tour before you actually take the survey. So this you can use the QR code, or did you bring any?
I do have a few handouts. Your smartphone will read that QR code, and you'll be able to take the survey.
I'm printing copies, please.
Okay. When we were in San Angelo the other day, we had several people that requested those, and we are prepared for that.
I'm the only computer literate one here.
Okay.
You're not
even. And if everybody wants one.
Thank you.
When they're entered electronically, whether you do it or whether when the credit survey comes back to me, I will enter it into the Qualtrics so we can do the data analysis. That's going to be very, very helpful. Brian Stokes' efforts with that. As Dr. Sparks said, each campus is discrete within the survey. So when you answer, you may, in fact, use that same QR code to answer each campus. And so each of you are welcome, encouraged, if you will, to take the survey campus by campus.
You'll have the opportunity each time that we have the focused meeting on that particular campus. We'll have a facilities master plan part of that will follow. You will have had a tour, and so then you can take it at that point in time.
At the top, you pick the campus that you represent. Of course, y'all represent them all, and that will include online as well. So that's the first thing that you would select. Campus. Then your role, obviously, your board of trustees. So you would check that box, and then it would go into the list of statements to be evaluated.
Can we tell them about the survey just a little bit?
Sure.
You want to do that too, or do you want me to?
Well, the last one we did was in 2007, and so what we did, we looked at them, and then we decided that our study will include building envelope, in other words, the building, interior finishes, then you've got your systems, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, systems that will be evaluated, then we'll go and look at the adequacy of the space, in other words, is it a classroom, is it the proper size, are the proportions correct? Then move into the site, site circulation, access to the campus, there's landscaping, parking, and we'll evaluate all those things. And we will get all that information gathered up, then we'll break it down by campus, by user group, crunch it up, digest it, and come up with recommendations and suggestions. So anyway, kind of already covered the instructions.
This survey should be fairly painless. It's 15 questions. The one we did in 2007 was 67 questions. And I think people, we've already got probably three or four times as many responses in total, right, nudging 400, that I think people feel a little weary. And I'm not sure that probably a lot of them were never finished, probably started.
We cut out a lot of the superfluous stuff that, you know, they kind of designed theirs to cover all kinds of campuses, big, you know, urban, rural. I mean, but we went through and cut out the stuff that we didn't think mattered at our college, and we tried to design stuff that you could do it in 5 or 10 minutes, you know, that way you don't get tired and just, you know, chunk it. These are designed, not specifically questions, but they're like statements. Number one is like, campus is attractive and offers an appealing first impression and is an asset for campus enrollment. So they would have five categories. You strongly agree, disagree, strongly disagree, or you don't know, or NA, which means it doesn't apply to you. So, and then on disagreeing, strongly disagree, we give you the opportunity to expand on that. You know, if there's something you don't like, it's better that we know what it is that you don't like, and then we can address it better if we have that information. For instance, if you there's questions about dorms. I don't live in the dorms, but so normally they wouldn't apply to most people that don't live in the dorms. You guys, on the other hand, probably have a lot stronger opinion about them than just regular community members. So if it's something you want to, you know, if you want to comment on, that's perfectly okay. Then there's a section at the end where if we miss something that you feel really strongly about, you want to expand on, then you can go in and tell us about anything that you want to communicate to us, and we'd be happy to read those. They'll all be read, and you know, we'll try to group them up where we can weigh them and respond to them. So that's kind of how it's set up. So.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I've just been asked, Dr. Forrest, is that pretty much covered?
Yes.
Wanted?
Yes, and just maybe to add a little bit, again, we'll do this on each of our campus focus meetings. And as I said, there'll be the tour, your associated opportunity. They will do for each campus, just kind of give you an idea of how many people have responded at that point in time. And then, and also, you guys might want to talk about the fact that you are, in the meantime, you're doing your own assessment, like you did the other day, of the San Angelo campus. So you want to share that?
Right. Of course, yeah, we'll go in terms of just the built facility. You know, we'll document the existing built facility, you know, grounds in each building. And then we'll go and we'll do our own evaluation based on the recent construction projects. We've been here for a long time working on this stuff since we started doing this together back in 1990. So we know about a lot of stuff that's going on. So we'll use our knowledge and then input from the surveys and the knowledge that we did. And glean from the recent construction project, will come and do our evaluation of the building and facility, and that will be all incorporated into the suggestions and recommendations. So we'll document what's here, analyze where we think we need to be, and then come up with suggestions and recommendations to you guys in the final report.
But all the documentation from the surveys, from the building inspections and everything will all be part of the final report.
So It's, again, it's building. So you'll have today, the San Angelo will continue to be worked on. And then on October the 23rd, we'll have the SWID focus, and that'll be a special regular meeting that'll be on the SWID campus. And then November the 1st, you'll have La Mesa. And then November 13th will be Big Spring. And so then, in the meantime, these guys are doing their assessment. They're getting this information. You get to weigh in on what you think. And then, as Phil was saying, then we'll be working toward, they will work toward a final plan, which probably, we're guessing, probably in January it'll kind of come together a little bit. But then we're also going to be sharing it some, get some feedback. And probably the February meeting is the time.
You know, as you and I discussed a few days ago, it's, you know, since we're running down between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and with that being the holidays, it's going to impact our ability to crunch all the numbers and do all the analysis. But we'll do the best we can.
Water for being lucky to watch.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. I wish we had had this before we went to San Angelo. We didn't look at all these.
Well, that checklist, that's the one that Phil and I will be doing. Mm-hmm. But we're handing that out just so you'll see what we'll be looking at. And,
I have a copy of the survey also.
Thank you.
Do you want to the survey document?
Yeah.
Well, we
do
need to go ahead and fill it out for the
community.
Then make sure you understand that there's two, you just need to be doing the survey.
So the QR code, right?
That's right. You just need to do that. I think what Terry was sharing with Raul was the actual document these guys are using.
We're
going
to use when we go around, say, for instance, we got a checklist.
What I just handed to Raul was going to say, what you will do on your phone.
I think Terry thought Raul wanted to see that document, but you don't have to fill that out.
No, I just wanted to see it.
Yeah, okay.
So that's just a checklist, so that we'll be sure we look at everything we look at. Not that if it's on the checklist, it applies to every building, but we just make sure that we cover it if it needs to be covered and it's here on the same person this week. So just trying to be organized and make sure we cover everything.
And everybody will have the opportunity, I say everybody, to a certain degree. We will, after these guys finish and we have a draft, then we'll be sharing the draft, preliminary information. And then we bring it to fruition or finalization for the February meeting, then we'll be done, hopefully, the February meeting, and then that will then be the new master plan.
And it is something that's required by tax for accreditation. And so,
right.
But we're not just trying to fill in a square. We want to build a document that's actually a roadmap, a guide for the future development, improvement, changes.
And I will say, even though the other one was done years ago, we have kept up with it. If you'll remember, in the summer, as a part of your workshop, we show you what we have completed on that master plan. And then you also have your deferred maintenance document that builds into this. And so some of the things that are on the deferred maintenance spreadsheet will end up, they'll end up in this document. And so those two things we can work off of. That old facilities master plan, we've just about checked off everything that was major. I mean, there were some things that ended up being just not a good idea,
it sounded good, but reality is not.
But the way these things work, I mean, you know, 5 years out, you got a pretty good idea what needs to be done. 10 years out, crystal ball gets a little fuzzier. 15 years out, there's there's a good chance that that stuff may not even apply because, you know, circumstances have changed so much. I mean, now you're doing the online stuff that, you know, back in 2007 we never even dreamed of.
Right.
Kind of doing distance learning a little bit.
Barely,
then,
yeah.
Just barely.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere.
Right.
Online learning. So, you know, those kinds of trends will impact our recommendations. You know, I'll just tell you, you know, in years past, a lot of the strong recommendations include building a lot of buildings, you know, because that's just the way y'all deliver your service. But now with online, probably not going to be recommending a lot of new construction. Maybe some remodeling, but that's the impact, I think, works to your advantage.
But another thing that's changed that was not in that earlier one is now you'll notice when you fill it out that we're asking questions about safety and security, and we're asking questions about technology. And that wasn't even broached in that 2007 document.
Now, you just go around and get out of your car, go wherever you want, and not worry about, you know, somebody hanging around that side. It's just reality.
Yeah. Reality. So Eric and Fabian are a part of that from the standpoint, this we will be gathering their input. They will be a part of the conversation because, again, it's going to be a whole different deal going forward. Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate you. I know that's hard work for you, and we appreciate your work.
We appreciate y'all. Trusting us enough
to let us do this, and
we really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, our next item on the agenda is a plumbing electrical building update.
Okay, so again, continuing on the focus on our San Angelo campus, again, we'll do a little bit of this on, don't go far. As we talk about each campus, we'll talk about some things that are specific to the campus, and so we wanted to talk in particular today about the plumbing and electrical building. And we all know that we had a very exciting event. I guess it's almost 10 days ago. We shared some of the pictures from the groundbreaking in San Angelo for our plumbing and electrical building. And Dr. Freeman and Ben were able to attend and be a part of the festivities. It was a big day. It was a great day. We had a lot of community members in attendance, a lot of media. The campus did a great job of really getting the word out, and just it was a great event. And so we were able to officially accept the $400,000 from the Lowe's group, and that was a lot of fun. And they had several of their regional people that came in for the event, and we presented them with the resolution that you all had passed. And then we also then had the opportunity to do the ribbon cutting, and it was a great opportunity for us. So as a result, we have continued to work on, okay, so now we have the money, and we don't have all the money, but we're getting close to having all the money. And so in the meantime then, Phil has been working with some of the folks in San Angelo on the drawings for the building. And then there's also been some work already, City of San Angelo, we've had to get some things approved. Had some things that they actually are not going to make us do, which is always good, the City of San Angelo. And so Phil and Pam, either one of you want to say anything about the plumbing electrical building?
It's a 4,900 square foot building. It's getting real close to being complete with the drawings, the architecture part was easy. Now, we got to have mechanical, electrical, plumbing. Those don't have to be sealed by an engineer since it's less than 5,000 square feet. So I'm doing it. I'm reaching out to some vendors to get current numbers on fixtures, equipment, things like that, so that we'll have an accurate bid set. One thing that we have to have sealed is the foundation. So the builder that we're associated with in San Angelo, you know, a structural engineer, they're gonna provide that sealed foundation drawing. The building will be sealed by the manufacturer. So we're getting real close. I've got the plumbing all done. The mechanical's about halfway done. The electrical's probably halfway done. Then I have to do an energy code comm check to make sure it's, you know, the energy code, and then I think we're about there. I'm going to take just a couple more weeks to get all that shit together. Got the drawings done, the specs will be done, and then it'll just be a matter of getting it to our builder and trade people that are donating time and material and things like that. This building sounds like it's going to be a reality because the money that they got is almost enough to pull it off.
That was kind of a crazy question, but you have me not going to hold you to it at all. When are they going to pour the slab?
that's not my department. I'm going to just take
a guess.
Take a wild guess. I'll say it's probably going to be in the next 2.5 months.
Cool.
That seems reasonable. Like I say, I'm...
Yeah, sounds about right.
I'm putting words in somebody else's mouth.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't know
it could. It seems like that, really, they could. If we get that foundation plan, you know, it's actually pretty simple, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an unrealistic time frame.
Super. That's great. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was hoping to be that before it gets too cold.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So, any other questions I can answer?
Have
good answer? All right.
Thank you. Phil. All right. San Angelo Roundtables.
All right. So, the other thing that we said that we would do as a part of the focus meeting, we would bring up what our students said in the last roundtable. If you'll remember, last year, back, I guess it was in May, we went through the roundtables for all four campuses, and there was a lot of information that we shared that day. But again, with your idea to try to focus on each campus, we thought we'll just take one of them at a time, and that way we can spend more time on those students. And so I'm going to go through and share some of the information that came out of the last presidential roundtable that we had in San Angelo, and remind everybody how this works. We do this on all four campuses every semester. We start off with the information that the students provided us in the last meeting roundtable, and always share that information. However, what we do when we take new information in, because we deal with the old and then we move right into the new, give the students the opportunity to start giving us new information, I highly encourage them and tell them that we welcome constructive criticism. We want them to feel comfortable that this is an opportunity for the students to really help our institution become better. It's their place. Anyway, I try to really encourage them to feel comfortable and then explain how it works and that we've been doing this for decades and that we take the students' information and we go to work on it. As soon as we always have a scribe that is in attendance and taking down the information from the students. We do have, there are some ground rules. I tell them, you know, they can't talk about people. You know, that there are other avenues if they have concerns about people, and that would include students. But and that we always keep it to an hour. And so that encourages them to come back. And so we, as soon as we get all their information, their new information, and we also tell them that we will get that word, we will immediately get that information out, and the individuals that have something to do with those particular items they bring up will go to work on it. We always try in about a month to have something posted up that will have our initial findings and what we're doing to respond to the concern they had. And then we keep working on it until the next roundtable, because sometimes we can't get them a complete answer in a month because we still have things that we need to work on. But at least they have an initial idea of how we're responding, and then we continue working on it till the next roundtable. So we'll have roundtables again. Those are already scheduled for the spring, early spring. But this is going to be San Angelo's, and so I'll go through some of these with you, and we also, so you'll know, we try to generally get the students to weigh in on how they feel as far as safety and security. We also, this particular time, had Phil and Terry in attendance because this was an opportunity for us to begin gathering information from the students relative to the facilities, and we gave them the QR codes that day, and so that they could also start weighing in. So our San Angelo students, the main areas that they brought up safety and security. We talked about the proximity of the county jail to the campus. We really, there's not a lot we can do about where that jail was placed. But nevertheless, the students, after that happened, because that's recent, within the last probably 4 years, something like that, that the county jail has been located in that space. And it's not really, well, anyway, it's not real close, but what happens is when people are released, if they don't have a ride, then they may walk and end up on campus and know that they, you know, they try to, you know, start making calls, that kind of thing. So, of course, our security really watches that, and we really have tried to monitor that all along. But nevertheless, it's a concern. One of the things that the students brought up was the idea about having a fence, you know, if we could put a fence. And we're looking into that to see if that would be something that we might want to consider. And so that was something that the students brought up. The students also brought up financial aid, and why was there a later release date for financial aid? Why was the date changed? Was it because of 8-week classes? And so we kind of went through the entire, tried to answer some of the questions that day, but then we had Candace Maldonado, who's our district dean of financial aid, share that some of that, it really didn't have anything to do with 8 weeks. It had to do with CAMS conversion and changes to the non-attendance policies. The process toward financial aid works regardless of whether a course is 8 weeks or 16. The only disbursement date that changed really was for student loans. Pell and other financial aid has always been disbursed the beginning of October, so there wasn't a change on that. And due to policies and procedures changing beginning this fall semester, we are not able to credit accounts for all financial aid until including loans before the semester begins. And so we just tried to start going through and answer the questions so that they would understand why. Another question about financial aid, did not know about the change to the aid release date. And although we always make every effort to try to get information out to students, you know, obviously we don't always do our best, or it's not always the best for the student, but we shared where that information can be found. We have it on our academic calendar. It's listed on the billing statement on when they receive their bill. When we release the calendar, dates are always subject to change, but we do keep it on the academic calendar. And then We also, whenever we are advising a student particular, well, that comes up later. I'll share that one later. Another question was radiology is not an 8-week class schedule, so why did it change? The student was unaware of the date change, had to take personal loans. Financial aid funds for the second 8 weeks and other courses that can begin later in the semester are actually being dispersed earlier than in the past. There were no changes for later disbursements to the radiology program or any program because of 8 weeks or 16 weeks. So, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of kind of reestablishing how things work. Some more questions about financial aid. Was told that Pell money could was not told that Pell money could be used in the bookstore. Why can't the bookstore advise a student to use their Pell? Does the bookstore know if a student has Pell? Could the bookstore staff ask the student if they have a Pell award? And the response is the financial aid department shared that announcements about using Pell awards towards the purchase of textbooks in the bookstore are sent to students. This is also discussed when they counsel students. There were announcements sent to students by email and Facebook about using financial aid at the bookstore. The notice of financial aid funds, including the Pell Grant, may be used at the bookstore and can be found on the webpage. The bookstore financial aid policies are also listed in the financial aid section of the catalog. And again, it's on their billing statement. The bookstore has been trained and given information from the financial aid office for using financial aid funds at the bookstore. However, for privacy purposes, the bookstore does have access to student accounts to be able to see available Pell Grant funds after tuition and fees are paid. The interactions between the bookstore and students have been witnessed, and the bookstore staff does ask students if they're using financial aid funds. So, again, these are all real, and so we still want to work through and help students with information. Ask about scholarships specific to Howard College. And so we explained about available Howard College scholarships, where they can find them on our webpage. Explained how donors have scholarships for specific programs. Some have very specific criteria. And so it gives us an opportunity in these roundtables to give students more information. Of course, the information sometimes is just going to a handful of students, but nevertheless, we put all this information in the documents that are posted, and if the students read them, then they'll have an opportunity to get this information. We also shared that the scholarships can be found on our webpage at the link that we shared. A question was asked, why are we not notified when we are given a scholarship such as San Angelo gives? And we shared that scholarship awards are put on the student portal. We do try to make telephone calls to students for some of the scholarships, such as the Howard College San Angelo Foundation scholarships. The option to view all awards, including scholarships, is on MyHC. Many funds require acceptance before funds are able to be dispersed. However, some don't, but the student can see all of their awards at the same time. It's the student's responsibility to check on all financial aid, including scholarships, on their MyHC. There were several different announcements from multiple departments that were sent to students by email and Facebook about logging into MyHC. We talked about printing in the library. Cost for printing adds up, especially for health profession students. Is this being looked at? And we explained that we continue to look for options relative to printing. That is something that we're working on. The students ask about a food vendor. That is something that for our San Angelo campus that has been a real challenge because of our location. And the other day when we were in San Angelo, Ben commented that it's kind of interesting that there are not a lot of food places that have built up in that part of the community at this point in time. And so students don't have a lot of opportunity for outside vendors. But the fact that we have had part of our campus on the St. John's campus, which is where we have a good portion of our health professions program, not all, but some of them, And they actually do have, at St. John's, they do have a little cafeteria, and the students that are on that campus can take advantage of it. The campus, our campus, we have had vendors through the years who have shown an interest, but then they don't get enough business in order to be able to really justify continuing. So that has been a problem. So one of the things that we've done in recent years, we have worked with our bookstore, and they actually provide some food options that students can, and we have microwaves in the sub that they can use, and of course a place that they can bring their food. However, y'all know that we're talking about the opportunity to move our St. John's campus back on to the campus, and that's the renovation that we're going to be talking about, and we'll have more conversation about that throughout this year. But we talked to the students about the fact that we believe that that will help. If we can get everybody back on campus, we'll have a better mass, and then that could potentially help with a vendor. So those are things that we're working on. Some of our student groups deliver a free meal to students on Tuesdays, and Chick-fil-A has changed their schedule, and they also try to help service us on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. So we're making some headway there. We also talked about curriculum instruction. We talked about online classes. In particular, there was a concern about one particular instructor, as always. I tell them we don't talk about people. And so we didn't talk about the particular instructor. But what we talked about was just about online classes, how those work. And so I generalized it and just said, okay, how do you feel about online in toto, you know, are you feeling good about it? I mean, there's going to always be an individual that we may need to work with. But so that answer ended up that they've had some very positive experience online, and we did share the fact that we our faculty are changing from Blackboard Learn to Blackboard Ultra. That was working happening over the last year, and so people were still working on that platform. Now, in a situation like that, when something is specific to a person, then generally after the meeting, we'll have a side conversation and we'll talk about it. And I know that happened, and we were trying to find out what the issue was. So all in all, we're making a lot of progress, I think, with our online classes overall throughout the district, but that'll be something that we'll continue to pick up on as we go through the different roundtables. And the other thing that'll happen come spring, when we have this other meeting again, we'll zero in on it. I'll ask how, you know, are things improved? And so it gives us an opportunity to keep working to improve our quality. We talked about the 8-week class schedule. Of course, we're early. This is September the 6th when the roundtable was happening. Generally, the roundtables are scheduled later in the fall and spring semesters because I like to give the students an opportunity to really get in, get settled in classes, kind of have a lay of the land before we have a roundtable. But because we were having this meeting, wanted to be able to go ahead and give those students an opportunity, and we wanted to be able to turn around and have some kind of a answer for you. So this was a little early for students. So they, at that point, were overwhelmed, feeling rushed, and so we explained how it's going to work, and so we talked about that, but it also helped give us a heads up that some of the students were feeling they were a little overwhelmed, and we were still having to work with them and as they adjusted to the new schedule. Because, again, instead of they're taking two classes in 8 weeks as opposed to four in 16, and so just trying to help them adjust to it. So we did work on that. OK. okay. And we gave them a lot of explanation on that for those that will spend some time reading all that information. We also, as far as textbooks, we had a question about they had to purchase a textbook. It was $130 plus a novel. It was $120. Why so much money? Couldn't they pick a less expensive novel or textbook? And we did share the fact that we are using, more and more of our professors are using open educational resources, what is referred to as OER, and that is saving students money. But we did share that information. How PIM handled this, and again, every campus will go through this process. PIM immediately, after the roundtable, Mary is taking the information, again, capturing the first comments that have been made by the students. It's immediately sent out with no, we have no response. The first thing that is circulating has no response, and then people are assigned a particular section. They start working on it. We start filling it in, and so then that's what you have today. So Pam took it through the instructional council. They went through, and so we take this very seriously, what our students are telling us, and we do this on each campus because, again, it can vary for whatever reason. You know, every campus has a different dynamic and a different situation. And so that is basically what happened. We finished up with the strategic planning process. Phil and Terry then went through the master plan study, and then the students had the opportunity to take the survey. Okay. Anybody, y'all have any questions about any of that? Did I leave anything out? Pam? Cover it okay?
I did have a question. So is it typical that four is the number that comes, or was that a low number?
That was, for San Angelo, that was kind of a low number. Generally, we will have, 10.
Okay.
Yeah, and but what they do, and again, every campus is different how they handle it. Like what we do in San Angelo, a lot of times they will send a representative, like there'll be a person from the nursing program.
Okay.
And, you know, and they kind of have representative memberships, or not members, that will come. And then we'll hear from different groups. You know, again, you know, I think some of it could have been because we were earlier in the semester, still trying to get out to the students. But that group that day, Pam, it was SGA officers, correct, that was mainly in attendance that day?
Yeah,
so one of them was representing the whole profession. Yeah, okay. So it was kind of a...
Did they then take this and disperse it to their groups, or that way they're knowing what's going on too?
They're told.
Okay.
They are told that what is going to happen and that we will post up in about a month, and then we let the students know that we're posting up, and then they have that information. They have the opportunity... If they'll read it, you know, then they'll have the opportunity. And I suspect, and I'm looking at Pam back there, but I suspect that the SGA in San Angelo is pretty good about getting that word out to students, and they probably do their own sharing of stuff afterwards. It's very interesting because each campus, there's a different dynamic, and been doing this long enough to kind of know, you know, how we're doing, but our San Angelo campus generally, you know, it's a pretty diverse group that will come to the meetings, and sometimes we always put out information on our TVs and let them know that we're going to be there and all those kinds of things, and sometimes we'll have people that come that do not represent any, I mean, they're just a student that read it and they're interested and they come and they have something they want to share. So it's kind of the way it works. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing from SWIB, so we'll move on to performance and measure outcomes access. Ryan, I think you got something for us.
Thank you. Talk to our guys about student achievement. Student achievement is something that we periodically go over from time to time. We also do this because this is an accreditation standard of SAC COC 8.1, which is student achievement, that we post our success rates and various aspects of what the college is doing and performing throughout the college. Typically, I kind of bring this information to you in June, but during this past summer, there's been so many changes in terms of how we collect our data and what's been going on with the Higher Education Coordinating Board and funding and all that, that we held off as long as possible because the measurements are changing. And so this is the best time I think I can give you an update on where we're at. I try to do this once a year. Just because that way you can see our changes in our success rate. Most of what we cover in terms of our student success data, we look a lot about at graduation, we look at retention, we look at completion of licensure rate, completion of course rate, and so forth. A lot of our information that we collect and look at come from the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System. That is IPED. And then most of our other information comes from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, which focuses on the accountability system. That was where most of our data was coming from. As I mentioned, the Coordinating Board had transitioned a lot of their data changes as they tweaked from strategic plans and they put some performance measures. That the measurements that we were utilizing are kind of fading out. And so it kind of put us in a predicament of trying to adjust what we were using to measure our success. So typically, as you see in the past, the graduation rate is set by our coordinating board, our accrediting body, SAC COC. We have to use the IPEDS rate. And we also then break that out into various groups. All the other ones that we were utilizing came from our coordinating board, the accountability system. And again, we adjusted that because those reports are either fading out or were not reported this year. And again, a lot of that dealt with the transition that the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. When we talk about student achievement, what we look at doing and what this standard requires is that we look at our results and we see whether we set a goal and we set a threshold of acceptability. And we look at what we're doing, and if we do not reach the threshold of acceptability, we have to really take a look at it to determine what we are doing to try to improve it. Again, we should always be striving to get better, so we have our goals. And again, this is not only like a SAC requirement that we have these different thresholds, but again, it helps us gauge where are we doing really well at, where are we not doing really well at, and it gives us an opportunity to adjust and compare how we're doing to the various previous years or a small group. What we look at is we look at how we compare to other small colleges in the state of Texas. I put that in there, the small colleges that are part of that. So it helps us compare and contrast our successes and what are we doing good at and where can we improve. As I mentioned earlier, the mandated requirement that we have to look at is our IPED graduation rate for full-time first-time student. Now, this data report, this was set years ago, and it's actually, to me, an outdated one. It is a very lagging indicator in terms of graduation because it's only looking at first-time, full-time. But again, this is the requirement from SAC that we look at. Good news is, you know, we improved in both not only Howard College, but in our Southwest College Board of Staff. Now, our IPED, our data is broken out separately in terms of the Southwest College of the Deaf, so we show them separately. What we've done is we've increased by a percentage every year with our first-time, full-time students at Howard College. And so you can see back cohort a couple years ago, we were in a threshold of
of unaccessibility. Our accessibility, we've been working on that. Again, as you know, we've done a lot of things in terms of our LEAD program. We've done a lot of things in terms of trying to improve responses to students that need help. And so we think these are what's helping us improve in our success and graduation rate. SWIG did improve very well as well. The only issue we have with Southwest College of the Deaf numbers is first-time, full-time students is a very low number for SWIG. So there would be times when a student or two may not make it. That makes a big, major percentage change in their number. So again, we have to improve on, of course, the components, first-time, full-time, but anything we do there, one student can really change the percentage. But we can see we were in a good number in terms of we weren't below threshold. We also, with this one, look at it, and we try to break it down to very different aspects, trying to look at how our college is in these different areas. So we look at how does our gender differentiation between men and women. We look at it in terms of ethnicity, and we look at it in terms of students who are receiving loans and Pell, or loans and Pell compared to those that do not. For the most part, we are at least in a comfortable spot. One area that we can improve on will be within our men and also within our African Americans. Again, some of this is because they are a minority population in terms of the amount of students that qualify for that first-time, full-time group. But again, these are areas that we can definitely improve on. Again, with a lot of our men, you know, not being as successful and then having a lower enrollment, there's got to be ways that we can improve on this. And again, we've been tracking those with our LEAD programs and our student success measures.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Is this the data from 2018?
Yes. Yeah, so this is a cohort. I'm sorry, yes. So this is a cohort of students that started in the fall of 2018. So, again, like I mentioned with the iPad data, it is very lagging in terms of what is acceptable. And so these students started in the fall of 2018. They finished up, and then now we actually are able to get these numbers to report on.
Okay.
So,
to Brian's point, too, we're in this scenario. I mean, it's 2023. You know, and we, of course, have implemented several kinds of things in 5 years' time. And so, but yet, we're still in a situation where we've got to report this. So.
And yes, when we look at graduation rate, we look at 150% completion, or time to completion. So we give this fall 2018 cohort 3 years of graduation. And so it is just roughly... It is way lagging in what I prefer, but in terms of the way the standard is set up, we report on it. Again, with SWIG, again, we do have a lot more that we can improve on. Again, what we deal with and what we face is that the numbers in terms of the amount of students that we affect change dramatically. So, you know, if we have only 5 students in one group, if we lose 2, it causes an adjustment. You know, again, when we talk about this fall 2018 cohort, you know, again, COVID was in there, and we have international students. So this caused all kinds of issues that we run into when it's trying to help these students be successful. Typically, I do, as you had mentioned about the iPad data, for it being so lagging, I always try to rely on the Quest Tech Higher Education Coordinating Board's accountability measures because they were only about 1 year behind. But again, with these transitions, they have not updated them. And so I've switched over to the iPads information. And, you know, this time I'm showing you the iPads data in terms of retention. We have done very well in retention the past couple of years. If you were to look at this compared to the retention that the accountability was showing at the time, they're pretty close and they are showing improvement. And so, again, our first-time, full-time students are being retained from fall semester to fall semester. And so with both, this is looking at Howard College specifically, and with iPad, they break out that information. And so you have a part-time, full-time, or you can, the top one is the full-time, first-time, full-time, the other one will be a part-time, first-time. And you can see with both of those different groups, we are doing very well in terms of retaining. SWIG as well is doing the same thing. Again, when you talk about a low amount of numbers, especially like with that part-time rate, there's a very small amount of students that are in that. I want to say that for that year, this year for fall 2020, that was a five students in terms that were part time. And so, you know, they changed the percentages dramatically, but we are retaining our students in terms of how they're doing. Again, another one we look at is the community college that transfer students. We want to see how our students are doing in terms of transfer. Again, this means a little bit different compared to what our previous reports are doing. This is looking at students transferred through IPED, so they didn't graduate with us, but they transferred as first-time, full-time students. We are in the acceptable range in terms of about 15 to 10% for both Howard College students. This is one that is called course completion. We look at how many of our students are passing classes with a C or higher. This has been a good one for us, but this is a one that's unsetting through the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board accountability page. They did update it one last time, so I wanted to share that information. You can see in terms of how our students are doing and getting a C or higher in classes, we are on par with what our small colleges are doing as well. So we are doing very well. It's with doing better. And so we are up and doing great in terms of our course completion. Of course, we always want to strive to get to 100%. Licensure rates, we did go into the yellow this year, but this is a very high bar that we set for ourselves. If you look in terms of licensure pass rates, we have consistently had high, you know, mid-90s to upper and above. If you look at the state average, we look at that's usually about 88%. We haven't been in the 80s in the past 5 years. So we did dip off a little bit from 95 to 93, but it's still a very, very good success rate of licensure passing. So it is in the yellow this year, but, you know, we strive to real high percentage, and it's really hard to keep that up. This is just a color representation of everything that we've talked about today. There's some of them I did not go over today, like the college level. This is college level course completion. This was looking at students who would get a completion in reading, writing, or mathematics. Again, this has kind of been sunsetting from the coordinating board, so we're going to have to adapt how we are measuring students completing that type of coursework. Other things that we didn't have this time was job placement. That is from the Perkins report. That has not been updated, and I've been looking and keeping that close because I think that's a very important community college to transition those students from completing a certificate or degree into the workforce. And then our outcomes data is not complete yet. That's our student learning outcomes. There will be later on in the board meeting. I will discuss student learning outcomes. But we are really working on getting these completed and modifying these moving forward. Again, with all these transitions in terms of our funding model and different measures that they're looking at, we're going to look at adjusting those. We'll look at the performance funding indicators because, again, those are more current and it helps us adapt better. And it also ties into other things like funding. And that's all I had in terms of student achievement. Anybody have any questions in terms of that? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a comment. The mantra you're going to hear over and over today, we're seeing so much change in what we are going to be doing with reporting. Just like Brian was saying, some of the things that they used to update, they being the coordinating board, they're no longer doing. And so we're going through the process of responding to that. And then what we're going to be doing, y'all may recall that probably 2 years ago, we presented to you a calendar, an accountability calendar, and what we would be presenting to you on a monthly basis. Well, that thing's kind of blown up because everything has just changed so much. And so we're trying to figure out exactly what the coordinating board is going to do and in the way of things they're going to share, and then how that ties in to our funding model. And so we'll be bringing you that back. I doubt any of you are going back and checking to see if we're doing everything we said we were going to do on the accountability calendar as far as what we're reporting to you. But if you happen to look at it, you'll note that there's some things that we said we were going to bring to you, we're not, because we're not getting that information. and we're going to, and we're working on a new one for you that is going to adapt. And that'll just kind of, let me just, Mr. Chairman, if it's okay, I'll just go right into this next one.
Yes, please.
The fall 2023 16-week and first 8-week enrollment and contact hour report. That, too, has changed. The way that we're going to be reporting, the coordinating board and TAC are asking for us to report things differently. And so we were going to bring something to you today, and then we decided it would probably be best. Let's get our second 8 weeks. By the time we get to the next board meeting, we'll have the second 8-week information. We'll have a little better idea. TAC is gathering data right now. And so we're not sharing that information right now. I would tell you, just right now, we're down because for our San Angelo campus, the school district in San Angelo, it's not enrolling their students until it's going to be the second 8 weeks is when that'll show up. And so our numbers, we're going to be able to give you better numbers if we wait until October 23rd. So that's what we're doing.
What is the problem is new people being put in positions with the state and with the other organization there. That's stirring the pot.
Well, it's everything, Dr. Freeman. It has a lot to do with the new funding formula, because as I've said multiple times, it's blown everything up. Everything is totally different. That was a 50-year-old model. Everything was built around that, and now we have a total new model. We're going through all right now. We have all the emergency rules that we're following until January, when the coordinating board will vote final. And so it's not really. I mean, there's been changes in people, but not totally. A lot of it just has to do with the changes in legislation that are going to the focus on what they ask for, what we're focusing on. And so that's why, you know, we've mentioned it's going to be different. What we report to you on is going to be different. Numbers matter. Enrollment numbers matter. Contact hours matter, but they don't matter like they used to.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's kind of what we say, too. Oh, well. Okay.
Student success.
Nothing in
there. Nothing there. Nothing for workforce development. Performance excellence.
Yes, sir. Our Fitch bond rating, Brenda went through all of the disclosure that we had to go through, and that always happens in August, our fun time of year for Brenda and crew. But the good news is that everything's still good. We continue at AA minus with a stable outlook.
Very good. Very good. All right. Purchasing.
All right. First up is the vending RFP. And Steve, you want to share with the board what's going on with that?
Hi, everybody. We sent the vending RFP out to six different contractors, and we're waiting on open end because we were hoping that
and Steve, that was already a second extension, right? Yeah, and when we were not getting responses, we extended it again.
I called them and they said, well, we'll get it again, but they didn't. And so so we got one, and we're gonna open it. We didn't have time to open it this morning. We'll open it with him. I feel really good about the guy, the gentleman that submitted it. He came on campus, he looked at everything, every machine, made the comment to his something about, you know, the issue and stuff, and said, well, you know, if we don't respond within 24 hours, we're not going to shut down. What better than what? So that will be coming. We're going to open that and go forth with that, and I think
authority to go forward, you know, assuming. One of the points, too, to remember, this is basically just a matter of commission and how that works. And so I feel like that it'll be based on what Steve was saying in his conversations with the individual, that we're going to be pleased with what we see. If we're not, then obviously we won't. But we'd like the authority to be able to do that.
Do I have a motion to give her authority to do that?
I move.
Second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is purchasing a trailer. Rodeo.
For the manufacturer home, we did an RFP on that. We sent that out to five different hybrid sources who had mobile homes. We received three responses back. We opened that and made a decision on that. That was based also on your permission to do that. And so they're working on getting that in. And we're working with them finding who they're doing a bid to sell what we got, working with them to get that out of here because of the logistics of the trailer, tires and low tires and all that, and getting them new there. And then the post that we're going to suggest on that and get that in this week and build it in. And so they're working on it. That's what we're doing.
And I thought, as far as just affirming, if you want to affirm that decision.
Okay. Do I have a motion of that purchase? A motion. Have a second.
Okay.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'm sure glad. $75,000 would have been. Cost me a lot.
Region 18 Purchasing Cooperative Membership. Interlocal agreement.
We were excited about this. We're asking for you to approve an interlocal agreement between Region 18 and the college. It's for purchasing. We deal with a lot of our local hardware stores and trying to get RFPs for tools and nuts and bolts and screws and all that. It's kind of hard in some ways. And so we went searching for somebody that was in the interlocal, and not only did we find the ability to do that with them off in here, but several other vendors that we use that are not under contract are interlocal. The hundreds of fuel costs is $990 a year, but it is worth it to make sure that we follow all the rules and all the bids, and so we're actually going to approve that interlocal.
Good. Thanks. I have a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Have a motion, have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Have it also, Region 5 Education Services, purchasing an interlocal agreement. We just did that, didn't we?
Well, no, this is a different one.
Different one. Oh, okay.
And so that also in a co-op agreement, and if you would have that interlocal to the same.
Yeah, that worked out good. I remember that one. Have a motion to approve. Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry SWID boiler replacement.
Okay, and that one is the last one. It's the boiler replacement at SWID. That's through SKC, $2,100. It is under the kitchen with the purchasing contract, and we're bringing that to you because it's over $50,000.
Yeah. We don't find it. I know that needs to be replaced. Okay, do I have a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Handbook. Catalog change. Thanks, Steve.
And I would remind y'all, that one was one of the ones that was in the plan deficit for SWIT.
All right. Handbook and catalog changes.
Okay. We have one recommendation. Our instructional division, in looking at what the pay for tutors, felt like that we needed to adjust it, and so we have included that as something for you to approve.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
So move.
Have that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is construction renovation project.
All right. Terry and Phil are both here to answer questions relative. Phil's been on the music building, and of course, Terry's been working with both. But Terry, you want to give the update on the library and music building?
Well, I think it'd be great to have Phil do music since he's here.
Okay.
Music building's coming along pretty good. I mean, we knew the way construction is these days. The time in, the projection of the time it's going to take is always difficult, you know, these days. But it's come along pretty good. We had a long lead time item when we started with mechanical units. We did get some loaners on the rooftops. Those have been replaced, or they're going to be replaced very soon. So we got that behind us. The big component of work that needs to be completed right now is the lighting. And that's supposed to be done, say, by the end of the month. Then the supplier has come in and commissioned the lighting system, the controls. So that will be closing in on substantial completion, which that means that we'll be able to take over the building and use it for the purpose of which it was designed. The walkthrough we have scheduled, I believe, October 16th on the music building. That's when we'll do our substantial completion inspection, and we'll do a punch list, give it to the contractor, and if it is substantially complete, then we can take it over. There will be a list of some small deficiencies that they'll have to work on. But we'll hold retainage until they get that work done. So, I'm really pleased with the way it's turned out. I think it's going to be an outstanding building for another, hopefully, 60 years like it was. And I really couldn't be more pleased with the way things have gone on. So, does anyone have questions on the music building that I can answer?
I'm thinking maybe what we do is let Terry talk about the library, then we'll talk about ribbon cuttings and dedications in one fell swoop. So, Terry, you want to talk a little bit about the library, and then we can talk about how we plan to do what we're going to do.
Very similar report on library. Getting very, very close. The commission of the lights is still outstanding. The installation of the door openers for disabled individuals. Those are scheduled for a few days from now. And then the walkthrough on the library, punch list walkthrough, hopefully substantial completion will be on the 17th of October. We do believe some furniture is already delivered in the library. So that all has to be set up. We have furniture in storage. And Fabian's going to be taking care of getting that moved back in once we do reach substantial completion. I think the library, similar to what Phil said on music, the library is going to be better than it ever was. It's going to be the whole print media, whether you're talking books, magazines, newspapers, whatever, everything has gone so digital that libraries are used so differently now. And I think, you know, there'll be a makerspace in there that will have 3D printing, CAD cutting, laser cutting, and I don't know, I think I've even heard sewing machines in there that people can come and it's going to be a much more active library than what we had before. And I do believe that the projection of that
So then to tie in with the reports from both of these guys, and again, appreciate both of them and their diligence on staying on top of the building work. Now, with the fact that we can't really do our punch list until the 16th and 17th of October, we've had meetings. This morning, the group, the library people, we met with them. We're looking at, we think we can start realistically. We're talking about the 23rd of October. And then I went ahead on Friday and worked with our donors on rescheduled dates for the ribbon cutting and dedication. It is definite that the ribbon cutting and dedication for the library will be December the 7th. That's Thursday, December the 7th. And so that one is in place. The one for the music building, we're looking at four different dates. She's working on her calendar and supposed to be getting back to me on that. But once we can start moving in, again, we gave ourselves about that whole week, the 16th, 17th week, to be able to let them do any kind of finish-up. We know that what they'll do, they'll be doing pre-punch list work before we do punch list. These guys are staying right with them. They have been the entire time and trying to keep things moving. And so then will give us internal time. Fabian will be rescheduling the third time to be able to get the movers to bring in the things that have been stored as well as the relocated space. As y'all all know, the library's over in the Coliseum. Those folks have things basically boxed and ready to go, except what students are needing. And so we will be able to go ahead. The plan is the week of the 23rd. Anything new has either been stored, and if it came in real early, it's been stored over in maintenance. Fabian's ready to get it out of there. At the same time, we have some of the newer things that are being brought to the locations and keeping them in the boxes. So obviously we don't get in the way, but yet it's an easier move. Wiring, Eric's team has been all over those buildings working on the fiber. Fabian has had safety and security, all the security stuff going in, as Terry mentioned, some of the access control. So there's lots of activity. As far as the new technology, I will not go in until we basically have them out of there, because we want to make sure that we're able to get in there and we don't have a lot of dirt flying around. So our library folks are going to be working out of the Coliseum, continuing to have our students serve through the library, relocated library. I remind everybody, a lot of it's online anyway, so that's helpful. And so we will continue to do that, but they can start moving back in. We'll have a methodical process. We're trying to get back in and be very orderly on what we do. Same thing in the music building. And so the game plan, again, dedication ribbon cutting is December the 7th for sure. And then I suspect that I'll have something back from the music building donor very, very quickly. She was just finalizing some dates that she wanted to look at. So we're very close. Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The only other thing that I would say about the music building that I needed to update you all about was in the last board meeting that we had one of the rooms that was still kind of up in the air, the practice rooms, on what that was going to be called. And so what the final decision was, it will be Miss Mildred Jarrett, Mary Louise Barnes, Patricia Iden, Sally Wilson, Nora Hambrick, Ann Hauser, and the Behanna Guild judges. So that is accomplished. And plaques have been ordered, and they're getting done, and so we're very close on that.
Very good. Thank you. All right, our next item on the agenda, Student Information Systems Project Implementation Update.
I need to say something about the press box real quick.
I'm sorry?
The press box. I need to say something about the press box.
Not on mine.
Oh, it's on the agenda, but it's not. Yep, it's not on your memo. Okay, just real quick on the press box update. We're working for October the 21st to have the press box ready to go, and as a part of our alumni event, bringing in the baseball team of 2009, and also I'll go ahead and just share the fact that the WACJAC, Western Junior College Athletic Conference, did vote unanimously to induct John Weeks into the Hall of Fame. So when we do all that, we'll be able to report that day as well. Anything you want to share?
It's been a busy morning today. I
haven't
let you know, but they did show up this morning.
Good.
Good
deal. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we go to Student Information System.
Yes, Eric, Amy, and Brian.
Hello. We've just continued making progress, moving. Our process has been continuing, like data validation, checking transcripts. We've gone through the process of financial aid billing. We're working on refunds. That's been a big thing going on right now. Financial aid, the first time we've seen it. And people are doing great for the first time. Midterm grades and some portions have already ended. It started early. So people are starting to realize that it's a major disruption and we don't have all the answers right away. So we're figuring it out.
Like on the break and executive, we're pushing things back to keep things updated, get progress reports, and then they said, but it's not working. We said, we'll get that fixed. So so it's fixed and things are going. And Eric has been a taskmaster. He has this electronic spot board that he's created. I'm just now figuring out how to open up. But if you're able to see all the different topics and the questions left unknown or unanswered. And I mean, 3D technology is responding, I think, better lately. Not that they've always responded well, but I think the urgency is even there for them as well. So I've seen.
It's quite the process trying to prioritize everyone else's priorities. So.
I think we're getting to what our questions that we're having difficulties like apply Texas, the applications not coming in, all the field parts matching up.
We got that working good last week, and so some of that was just making the right connections with them. Some of those things are starting to get worked out. And then I think EAB, like some of the things that I've been doing, some of those transitions that I think they had planned for the 8-week model, I think those are starting to happen. Everything's kind of starting to mesh together.
We are realizing, I haven't even talked to Eric since our meeting this morning, I think we'll have to allow our offices, especially like admissions, to close at different times. When I say close, just leave their desk and leave someone there to answer traffic if they come in because they're back and forth. So I realized this morning, I heard them loud and clear, if they need time that they can go away with the different offices and work and get some of these things worked out. I know Tracy, our city, will be here Monday and Tuesday to work with the group, so we're hoping to accomplish a lot.
Yeah, I think he's coming to help kind of get some things lined up for state reporting. Just so some questions about where the state reports were fulfilled from. And so with all the other things going on, it's been a little harder to manage back and forth. So everyone felt like getting more done.
They're working, everyone's working great together and not too many. Everybody's frustrated with some things, but they work really well together and it's coming along. EAB and everything, but even EAB, as big of a system that is, talking, we can put things haven't gotten answers for that, so.
Are we most of the way there?
Are we most
of the way there? I mean, this seems to have been going on forever. I mean, you know, is there now light at the end of the tunnel that we will have a functional system?
Is there still a lot of, like, small things, the major things?
I think it's going through everything for the first time. Like, midterm grade was our first time. So that, we hit a bunch of bumps. Or we hit bumps with it. Mid-final grade, we're going to hit bumps there. When we get it into the term, we're going to hit there. So I think it's just going through those and ironing out the wrinkles little by little. It'll get, well, I would say we're on the back end. We're not in the front end of it.
Yeah, it's just a finer tuning. I mean, we're more or less live on cam. We're not... There's been some like pod testers. We were still bringing those into voice, and then those were getting transferred. That's not happening anymore. So there's very, very little things happening in the old system now. So the majority of the processing is going on in CAM. So I think like what Brian is saying, there is light at the end of the tunnel, but there's still a lot of fine tuning.
Young people are still learning how they did things in voice, and it's not how we do things in CAM. And so it's that transition, it's user adjustment as well, it's not just CAM. The issue is one system does things one way, and one does it a different way. You use and adapt.
Even some of the financial aid things, the financial accounts we bring up, and just how to read those CAMs, they're really not changes. It looks different, feels different. And so they question, you know, what's happening sometimes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. President's report, upcoming activities.
Okay. I'll try to run us through this. Okay. Legislative and general updates. As y'all know, we have the likelihood, well, it's not likely, it is going to happen. We're going to be having another special session, and it's going to be mainly focused on public school, or I'll say school districts. How do I say that? Secondary, elementary and secondary. And so there'll be a lot of activity. You'll be hearing a lot about what's going on. That really doesn't, at this point, doesn't include us a lot, except from the standpoint of dual credit, how that, and not anything that will impact us financially, but it will be, we'll be paying attention, obviously. I would also remind everyone that Representative Darby will be here. As part of your calendar, we'll go over some of that in a minute, but he will be here this Wednesday to do a Constitutional Amendments 101, and it'll be Wednesday from 10:30 to noon. It'll be in the catch room on the campus here in this building. And so everything you ever wanted to know about the constitutional amendments will be a part of what he will handle in that particular meeting. As far as, and we've, some of the general updates we've had, or I've been talking about, kind of related to some of the other agenda items, relate to changes that we're seeing at the state level and how we're responding. And you know, as y'all know, and we've been saying, we have a lot going on. There's a lot of change. We have a document that we use that is basically a timeline that looks at all the different aspects of what we're doing across the district, and we have a bunch. There's a lot happening, so we're trying, as Eric was saying, it's hard to keep up with the priorities of others, but that's basically what we're trying to do so that we can move everything to fruition. I would also, as far as your upcoming activities, you have your calendar. And on that calendar, I've already shared the fact that Representative Darby will be here on Wednesday. You'll see several meetings that I'm going to different campuses for some of those roundtables, and we have a lot of training that's going on. The ACCT Leadership Congress, and that's handled later on the agenda, but we do have three of the board members that will be going and attending that, representing the board October the 9th to the 12th. So we'll be reporting on that. On Thursday the 12th, our student, Rachel Deller, she'll be Smith by then, will be recognized along with every other student in the country that represents their particular state. She's representing Texas, so we're very proud of her. She will be recognized at breakfast on Thursday, and we will be in attendance for that. Before the next board meeting, we will be having the San Angelo Awards and Phi Theta Kappa ceremony on the 17th of October, and it'll be at 6 p.m. In San Angelo. And then, as I mentioned, we'll have on the 21st of October, we'll have the 2009 baseball team reunion, along with several other things. You got a copy in your board book that relates to that date, the things that'll be going on. We'll have the Britt Smith, who is the coach at that point in time. He had already been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we will officially do his induction, and then, of course, John Weeks, so the press box dedication, and then we now know that he has been inducted in, or selected for the Hall of Fame as well. The students that come back, a golf game for them, home run derby, the coach is working on that. You know, we still have some two of them that are still out playing, and so they'll be figuring out how they're going to work with the team and work with the students that come from the 2019. And we, at the same time, have paired this with the Howard Harvest. Some of you will remember that we've had, probably, I guess this is the third or fourth year, we've had the Howard Harvest, and it's been very successful. It is a family-friendly, family-encouraged event we have a lot of students that have children, and so it is a great student activity for people who have families, as well as the community, and of course, employees. And so what we have found is this 2019, they have children at this point in time, and so we've tried to make it a family-friendly event for them so that they can bring their families and it can be a fun time. And so the dedications will begin at 3 o'clock. We'll have the Home Run Derby at 3:30. Then we move into the Britt Smith induction at 4:30, picnic at the ballpark. We'll have a picnic for the students and their families, and then the festival. And so you all are invited for that. So we'll keep you informed about that. Your next board meeting will be on the 23rd of October. As I've already mentioned, that will be the focus on our SWID campus. So you will... Since that meeting is in Howard County, it can be your regular meeting, but it'll be special focus on SWID. And so we have planned a tour for you that morning at 9:45. And then based on the conversation that we had today, since we had built in an executive session for you at 11:15, that may adjust a little bit based on what Mr. Willis was saying, that we probably won't be having that particular project to bring forward next month. So we probably will adjust that a little bit. We'll let you know quickly, because I know that matters for some of your schedules. And then we'll have our board meeting. We'll have a focus particularly on SWID. So just as we did today, we'll do everything on SWID that day. We'll have the student focus. You will have had the opportunity to have already toward the building. You'll be filling out your survey. We will have student recognition that day. Again, we're being able to do everything one time for that particular campus, so we'll handle all of that at that meeting. That is Deaf Awareness Week. Marisha had asked earlier if we could share some of the information as far as what's going on that week, and so we'll get y'all that information. That's as far as I'm going to go on the calendar this time. All right, continuing on, I'm just jumping around here if it makes sense. As far as board training, we being Ben and Brenda Kay and I attended the CAT conference on September the 15th and 16th, and Ben was representing small college. He was a small college representative. He did a great job. Had to do a speech, and he did a great job. He did not obtain a seat, but what we saw happen was pretty much everybody that had been serving. It was a re-election kind of thing, but he got us on the map. And people were aware, said something about SWID. Several people in the room that were kind of like, oh, you know, so just had the opportunity to really talk about very quickly. He only had 3 minutes, but he was able to get some word out about Howard College and how massive, you know, our service area was. So he did a great job on that. And as soon as it was over, they were coming and asking him to be on committees. So he will be involved, and so we believe it was a win for Howard College.
Can I just say something? I think it's important. It was important for Howard College to be there. Apparently, from what I gathered, there were 29 of the 50 community colleges attended, which means 21 didn't. Now, if we hadn't been there, it would have been 22 that didn't. It's very hard to have a seat at the table if you don't show up. And basically all I was trying to do with this was, I mean, there were people who literally didn't know where Howard College was. Now, there were colleges there that I didn't know where they were either, so fair is fair. But they didn't know that SWID existed. They didn't know that we had the Community College for the Deaf. They had no idea who or what or whatever Howard College was. They have a little better idea now. And I think that that's valuable, because if we want to ever have anything to say about anything that they do, they have to know who we are. So that was basically the idea of it. And by trying to have some kind of engagement, at least, you know, we might at least have an opinion asked of us or something sometime, you know, have something to say.
Yeah. We appreciate you doing that, Ben. And then October 9th through the 12th, I've already mentioned that, the ACCT conference and what's going to be going on with that. And we'll need to finalize for those, the three that are going, we need to finalize that. We have to do that in this meeting, but we need to talk about some things relative to that. And I believe that's everything, Mr. Chairman, unless y'all have any questions of me. I might, on recognitions, I'm sorry I left that out. Adrian was to get his 10-year pin today. He just texted. He had intended to be here. He is not feeling well. He was gonna Zoom in, but we'll set it up where we can do his induction, not his induction, his 10-year pin, the next board meeting.
Please finish 10 years.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we?
We're finished.
Board training?
I've done all that. I've done all that for you. You're trained.
All right. So, are we ready to finish?
Yes, sir.
I don't have anything to say. So I guess by the authority granted by the governor of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
There we go.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.